Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three. We have jersey leaks coming out right now around the NBA, Cam. And boy, they're horrific. Nike is doing their new city editions, and the Blazers one has leaked, reportedly. Yeah. Reportedly. Have you seen it?
I did.
Boy, that's bad. It's not as bad as the Pelicans.
The Pelicans one is really bad.
Where they have, what are they?
Fleur de lis.
But it's dream.
But they, it looks like a kind of like a Neapolitan ice cream sandwich, those Pelicans ones.
Yeah. The Blazers one.
Neapolitan ice cream sandwich.
It's just like three, like.
Is it Mardi Gras colors?
No, it's light, blue, red, and white.
It's the city flag of New Orleans.
Oh, I did not know they had a city flag.
Yeah, every city's got a flag.
Do they?
Yeah, Portland's got one. Yeah, Timbers. He's flying at the Timbers games and all that stuff.
Honestly, guys, I did not know that.
You really didn't?
I did not know that.
I knew certain cities did. Like, I knew Chicago's is pretty famous.
Are we talking every city?
Yeah.
You said every city.
Like, every major city? I think almost every city has.
Oh, every major city.
Yeah, I think almost every city has a flag, though.
Does Beaverton have a flag?
I don't know. I don't know if they do.
Does Hillsboro have a flag?
I believe it does.
Lake Oswego have a flag?
No, I know Salem does. And Salem? Somebody's trying to redo Salem's city flag.
Is it?
Huh. Yeah, because it's
I did not know that at all. Interesting.
It appears Beaverton has a seal and not a flag, but Portland most definitely has a flag.
Yeah, it's a blue, yellow, and green, the Portland one.
Fly your colors.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and Google the Salem city flag. Boy, that's a thing.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Well, just what is it?
I can't explain it.
Is it a marking of some sort?
It looks like somebody made it in word art, maybe.
Okay.
Just Google it.
It looks like a bad, it looks like someone's like bad campaign materials or something like that. Like a fifth grader's running for class president.
Yeah, and someone used like Microsoft.
What if it was a fifth grader that turned it down and they decided to do that? You guys are going to look really stupid.
Well, then you know what?
You're
going to
sound really dumb.
Well, I'm not
making fun
sound
of the fifth grader.
I would pat the fifth grader on the back.
Are you going to crap on the fifth grade design if it was a fifth grader?
No, I'm going to crap on the.
No, if it's a fifth grader, I think it's great. If it's an adult, I think it's bad.
No, I'm going to crap on the adults for saying, you know what? We're going to run with that as our state flag forever.
Dusty flag shaming.
I will. Yeah. I will flag shame. But the Blazers says Oregon on it in the same font as the Portland, Oregon white stag sign there in downtown.
Were the Blazers ever considered to be the Oregon Blazers?
I don't know.
When they first came out?
I don't know.
You
know.
Some go all by the state, other go by the city.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, well, you're going to put Oregon on there.
And then it appears that the design on the jersey is a topographical map.
Okay.
And then it has orange, like burnt orange, red, baby blue, and navy blue stripes down the side.
This is what we're going with.
It's not good.
Okay.
It's not good. It's not good. So hopefully they're not real. Let's get to our football, though. Coming up this hour, the best rivalry in football is just 3 days away from getting underway. And we also have, he says he'd average 350 yards per game in the National Football League right now. Bo Jackson on the differences in the NFL. But right now, we got to get to it. It is our Pro Football Challenge.
The competition is keen.
I don't know, fellas. I think there's potential in this crowd.
Every game counts.
Don't put a game plan together and we're going to win.
That's why Dusty and Cam have poured countless hours of research into their pro football predictions.
It was fiercely fought, but frightfully flawed.
Well, anyway, this is the Fans Pro Football Challenge with Dusty and Cam. And Buck's here, too. Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen, online at warrenallen.com. The Pro Football Challenge on 1080.
Let's go find out if they're ready today.
The Fan.
That is 7-9 bull.
Can't wait. Had a cheeseburger and went to bed.
It's the Steeler.
You play to win the game.
Go Chargers, go.
Decaf Metcalf.
The offense was ripping.
Mr. Unlimited.
You like that? You like that?
They are who we thought they were.
First year, we took it to the limit.
Nah, it's brutal, dude.
That Jags fan. The took it to the
First
limit.
First year, we took it to the limit.
She's fantastic.
She likes to party.
Oh, with two R's. All right, let's get to it. Our Pro Football Challenge. We'll have a preview of this game coming up a little bit later. And Thursday Night Football, though, is Falcons and Panthers. I would like to skip that game, can we? And go to Tua Tagovailoa. He starts his NFL career at home against the best team right now in the NFC West, playing the best football right now, in my opinion, the Los Angeles Rams, heading to Miami. Hard place to play is in Miami. It'll be 85 and muggy. 3.5-point favorites are the Rams. Does Tua knock him off in his debut?
I don't like the idea of thinking that a youngster can start against a very experienced defense. In fact, if you knew your first start was against Aaron Donald, What would you be doing at night? You'd be like, oh dear,
not
oh dear,
sleeping.
Oh dear. There's Aaron Donald again. Aaron Donald, you better account for where Aaron Donald is. However, you know the Dolphins run the football very, very well.
Yes,
their offensive line is playing excellent. We saw last time what the Dolphins did to an NFC West team. They just came out and stomped a hole in San Francisco. So what's to say they can't beat the Rams? I'd be surprised. Rookie to beat the Rams, huh? No, I'm going to go with the Rams on this one.
Yeah, they've been playing really good football. They've won three of their last four games. They have their only loss coming to the Seahawks, but that game at home in Miami. Remember, Seattle had problems getting going. This is one of those games that, you know, you talk about. It's hard to go to Miami, but I just have too much faith in the Rams. And, boy, Aaron Donald creating a headache for Tua. That's a tough one to get your career started. Going against the LA Rams. Give me LA. 10 a.m. kick. It's an early one. And I like him to cover that 3.5.
I think that it's good that Tua is getting his start and getting his feet wet, but it's almost surprising to me with the way that the Patriots are faltering, and now we've even seen the Bills falter, that they're going away from Fitzmagic right now. I don't know that this team's ready to do that and still win. Give me the Rams.
All right. Do we have a passing of the torch in the AFC East? The New England Patriots hit the road for Buffalo. 5-2. Buffalo is not playing their best football, though. Their offense has been sputtering. Is this a week Bill Belichick and Cam Newton figure it out? Or is this the torch being passed and the Pats fall to 2-5 on the year?
So the Bills were smelling their own brand for a while there. They felt pretty good. They felt really good. Josh Allen, MVP, they're listening to ESPN and MVP candidates. And then all Tennessee did with like 25,000 days off just smacked him right in the face, just punched him right. And everybody's ego on that Bills team went, oh, God, we're not that good. We're not that. And they haven't been playing well. Yeah, they beat the Jets with field goals. It's brutal. Give me the Patriots on this. Cam Newton's going to be salty. He doesn't want to lose his job. He understands. He even said, he said, I keep playing like this, I'm going to be out of a job. Give me the Patriots here.
Boy, this is a tough one. New England has lost three games in a row. They've lost four of their last five games. And they've been outscored by 49 points in this three-game losing streak, including 27, the worst loss in Bill Belichick's career at home for New England. 49 points. Something tells me they do figure it out. Boy, the line on this game right now is Buffalo 3.5. Yeah, I like standard. The Pat. I like the Pats outright in this one. So they're saying, you know, you get 3 points for home field advantage. I like New England straight up.
Yeah, this kind of ineptitude from the Patriots just usually does not go on for very long. I mean, we saw a bad game against Denver. We saw a bad game against San Francisco. I got to imagine there's more there for New England, and it's the kind of game that's a reminder to everyone else, no, you're not the best in the division yet. It's still us, even if we have been playing like crap. Give me the Pats.
Question for you guys on this one, though. The final finish. Patriots lose this game.
Yeah.
Is it over?
The dynasty or the season?
No, just the season. Yeah, they lose this game. It's full pack it up. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
This is the make or break. This is a massive make or break game for them.
Absolutely.
Critical.
Absolutely.
Could even be a let's see what Stidham's got type situation after that if they lose that many.
Getting the Trevor Lawrence conversation.
All right. This game, we saw that they came back down to earth this past week on Monday Night Football, but the Chicago Bears, Bears are 5-2 still. And here's a tricky one. This is November. We're hitting November football in Chicago. The Saints have to leave the dome and go to Soldier Field. 4-2 Saints, 5-2 Bears.
This is going to be a butt kicking.
Bears are going to do it, huh?
No.
Oh.
No. This is going to be a butt kicking.
Oh.
Just I feel agree. It. I know.
I mean, the 4.5 points doesn't make sense, though, for New Orleans, does it?
No, it does. I don't think that makes sense.
Because it feels like the Bears coming back down to earth is, hey, guys, you're like back to being the Bears. You lost by 14 points on Monday Night Football. You're on a short week. You have Drew Brees. This seems like it is a butt kicking in the making.
And by the way, that Saints team is coming off a bye while the Bears are coming off a short week. So we can sweep that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And now the Bears go from being one of the hot teams in football, 5-1.
Come on back.
Back down. They'll be 5-3 with a loss this week.
Would we call that a regression to the mean?
That would be a regression to the mean. You can hear this game, Rutger on the Fan, Sunday afternoon. The second best rivalry in football right now, the San Francisco 49ers head up to Seattle for the Seahawks. Ooh. Hawks, 3-point favorites. They're saying this is even if it wasn't for home field.
It should be an even up game. We all know this game's going to come down to the last 2 minutes. I can already tell you it's already come down to that. There's no way you're going to...
It's the Seahawks.
Well, it's the Seahawks and 49ers also, too. This is the best rivalry that we're going to see in the last... From division... We'll talk about what divisions mean, but this last two seasons. Even in the third season, when you didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo. These games are ridiculous. They mean so much. I love how the NFC West, their division games, it feels like they mean more than any other division right now. It just feels like it.
It
because
does.
The teams are so close and everybody's fighting for a playoff spot.
I agree.
I'm going to take, just because I don't think that, God, the Jamal Adams thing, I thought that was going to be the difference maker regarding it, and you don't have a running game. It's George Kittle and Juszczyk and everybody else and Jimmy and this defense and, oh, I think Seahawks are going to run into a buzzsaw here. I think Seahawks are going to lose.
No!
That was great, baby.
You know what? There's only one reason why I want to pick San Francisco in this. Because what do we love on this show? We love chaos.
Yeah.
And a Seahawks loss and a Niners win would mean that guaranteed every team has 5 wins on the season.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you would have 5-2 Seattle. Assume that, I don't know. I mean, just for the sake of this argument, assume that the Rams win this week. Cardinals are off. You would have the Cardinals and Seahawks at 5-2, the Rams at 6-2, and the 49ers at 5-3. That is the drama that I want at the midpoint of the season and just saying, who the hell wins this division at the end of the year?
Seahawks don't have one healthy running back.
I want San Francisco to win this game for that reason and that reason only, because it would be a heavyweight fight all 8 weeks to end the year.
Usually I pick the coach and the quarterback I want in this spot when I think it's going to be tight, and Russ is definitely who I would take over Jimmy G,
yep.
But that Seahawks defense has been so bad, I think that Kyle Shanahan will find a way to score points. And for whatever reason, the 49ers play their most focused game of the year at Seattle the last couple of years. It just seems like they play their absolute best up there, so give me the Niners.
Such a good division. Such a good division.
Means all a lot.
The best rivalry in football, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Boy, what a great game. How is the Cowboys-Eagles Sunday night football, and this is at 10 a.m.?
I don't know. Well, I'm happy it's at 10 a.m. because it means I'm going to be glued to this show. I think there's no tomorrow. This will be the most watched game in the early window that we've seen in week 7. Remember week 7?
Week 8.
Week 8, sorry. This will be the most watched game of the season this year.
And guess what?
Because it's the early window. Everybody loves the early window. You get up, you have coffee, breakfast. You love the early window.
Locally, we're watching Jets-Chiefs,
by the way. Are you crapping
me? No,
I'm kidding.
We got Steelers-Ravens.
It's like somebody needs to get...
I wanted to hear your quick
the
bout
program,
of panic.
Program director is going to get a bag of poop lit up on his front porch.
No, it is the game you want to see. It is the Ravens and the Steelers. Who do you got in it?
I'm taking Pittsburgh. I mean, the Steelers. All day long, every day.
It's the Steelers.
I already said the Steelers are going to win the AFC. And I'm still going to stay with it because I think it's Chiefs Steelers in the AFC Championship game. But give me Steelers.
Hey, that's
huge
a clean,
fan of the Steelers.
That's right a now. Clean sweep for me and you today. We agree on every single game this week. Oh, this is weird.
That means that we're all going to be wrong.
Yeah, and we're all picking road teams. We are road warriors. I got Pittsburgh in this one too.
There's no home field advantage anymore with no fans.
They are a better team.
All right,
I'll roll with Baltimore in this one. I think that the Steelers had to empty a lot of the tank in that game against the Titans last week, and it's so tough in this league to stay undefeated. Give me Baltimore.
Okay, quick question for everybody around here: do the Chiefs cover 19.5 against the Jets?
Yes,
19.5.
That's so many, but yes,
is enormous. We're talking the NFL.
Is Sam Darnold playing again? No Joe Flacco?
I think it's Darnold.
Does it really matter?
It does. Yeah, it does. If it's Joe Flacco, I'd put the line at 39.
They scored just as many points with Joe Flacco as they do with Sam Darnold, though.
They're getting into a kicking game. Yeah, Kansas City kind of plays down, too. I mean, Denver wasn't even a challenge. It was in the cold. Yeah, I'd take that line.
Football Challenge brought to you by Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone with something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen, online at warrenallen.com. He said it. Bo knows football. Why is now the time to say he'd average 400 yards a game? How much has that game changed in the last 30 years? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Probably the greatest marketing campaign of our generation. Bo knows. How great was that? He introduced the world to cross training. Because Bo Jackson knew it all, and Nike said, Bo knows football, Bo knows baseball, Bo knows basketball, Bo knows sailing.
I thought you were going to go for genius marketing campaigns, the Steal a Base, Steal a Taco. Yesterday, America got their free taco.
Did you go and who went out and got their taco?
I got mine.
You honestly did? You did? Yeah. Was it a Doritos
Loco? I heard that, but yep. What were the details again? If you steal a base, you get a taco?
Yeah, you steal
if
a base,
anyone
and you
stole
get free
a base
taco.
In the World Series, it was a free taco for any hour that any Taco Bell was open yesterday.
Just one. Did you have to purchase something to get it?
You could go to multiple Taco Bells.
You could go to multiple Taco Bells if you wanted to, I guess.
I mean, yeah,
I think they track you.
You could go to the same Taco Bell, and they probably wouldn't care.
If they recognize
you. You ever gone to a place just to get something free and not did anything else?
Oh, no, I got something else.
Okay.
No, yeah. And that's the thing. That's why they do it.
That's why it's genius marketing
is because they're like, all right, well, they're going to get something else. And you get them in the door with the free taco, and then boom. You always hit them with something else. I've done the free taco before a couple of times because they do it every year. And
you
every
do the free
year.
Slurpee on 7-Eleven day?
Yeah, that line is a zoo, though, at 7-Eleven. Bo knows football, but is he right on this one? He says he'd average 400 yards per game in the NFL right now because of the tackling in the NFL. He says, these guys are just shoulder tackling in the NFL. I would have ran right through that. I would have gotten 350 to 400 yards per game. He was saying it on Deion Sanders' podcast, which also kind of leads you to believe, if he wasn't being interviewed by Deion, do you think he would have said something as outlandish? Because, you know, Deion is Deion. He's going to be saying those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And Bo Jackson usually doesn't make headlines with things he says. But in this one, would you buy it?
Well, this one says it seems simple. We run plays and keep the clock moving, though, so to get to 400 yards a game seems unlikely. And with today's game, I don't think Bo would get enough carries, but maybe 2,000 yards for the season he could do. But what we're talking about is 6,400 yards in a season, and that for Bo can only happen in Tecmo Bowl.
I've done it with Bo in Tecmo Bowl. Greatest, I've been there, done that.
Greatest video game football player ever.
And obviously he's being facetious in this, but what he's saying is that, look, I could dominate the game of football right now. And I sit there and I look at, there's a ton of great athletes in football right now. The whole tackling aspect of it is an interesting one, because isn't kind of the way that guys are tackling now, look at what the Seahawks are doing with their tackling and the heads up plan. Everybody uses what the Seahawks teach. Now, isn't it a more sure way of tackling than what they used to have, which was headshots and all that?
Well, it's a safer way to tackle if you're taking headshots. It's not, I don't know if it's a more sure way to tackle. It's just different. There's different styles of tackling. You get a guy down, you just didn't want to go over the middle. So it was about, how do I get this guy down as fast as possible? I used to watch Crunch Course every time before my high school, Friday night before the games, was watch Crunch Course to get you up and going. Now it's more like shoulder course or swoop tackle or tuck and roll or be careful tackle. So it's just different.
But why then, if Bo Jackson is saying this, why don't we see, you know, these running backs in the NFL average more? It's because there are freaks in across the NFL right now. Yeah. From,
well, look what Derrick Henry does.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, Christian McCaffrey. You know, there are guys that you sit there and you're like, well, then why aren't they putting up these prolific numbers in the NFL that are untouchable, and guys like Alvin Kamara, right? And that to me is an interesting one, because are we saying that like Bo Jackson could do something that nobody else could possibly do right now?
Well, are the defensive skills getting worse? I mean, that's because to me, that's what he's saying. Like these guys don't wrap up and all that. Like they basically says their skills aren't as good as they used to be. To could me. Be.
Well, there's just not as much as a focus on it, because it's a different kind of game, the way you play it. He played it with huge men as linebackers, guys that weren't going to learn to play in space. So you played in phone booth kind of football. So everything was built to be run inside the tackles all the time. And then how you extended how did he extend the play? I mean, offense was very, not just remedial. It was just pigeonholed into the kind of style that was made your back be the focus. Your back isn't as focused as much anymore, because financially, it doesn't make sense. If you pay Christian McCaffrey $16 million, how's that $16 million working out for you right now? Mm-hmm. He's going to miss his sixth game. So what does that mean? It means you got to find offense from other things, and you're going to invest in your quarterback and not invest in the running back. What I think what he's just trying to say is that I'm that much better than any athlete that's ever played. And I'm watching sports 45 years. I've never seen an athlete look like him. Never.
Couple other athletes that the text line is saying they'd like to see try to play in today's NFL include Barry Sanders, Roger Craig, and Thurman Thomas. Which of those guys do you think could be ultimately successful, or would it be all of them?
I think Barry and Roger Craig are great ones. Barry Sanders, if you had him coming out of the backfield, can you imagine Barry Sanders being used by Sean Payton or Andy Reid? Or, Roger Craig, and he was kind of at the forefront of like a running back that Bill Walsh was willing to use him in the receiving game.
Yep.
They would use these guys in so many different ways. And that's why Roger Craig could definitely transition into
high knees,
normal
high knees,
modern football.
Hard to tackle.
Walter Payton. Walter Payton is a guy.
Oh, that was another one that came in. Yeah.
Sweetness doesn't matter where he plays.
He just had a work ethic. It was better than everybody. He just wanted it more at all times. But all times.
There are also guys that like Thurman Thomas is an interesting one. Would Thurman Thomas work in today's NFL as effectively as he did in the K-Gun with the Buffalo Bills?
You could look at Thurman Thomas and I could tell you it's Ezekiel Elliott right there. It's the same player. Exactly the same player.
So now I didn't hear this on the Herd yesterday with the text line telling us that Eric Dickerson said the same thing on the Herd. Now, I don't know if he's saying he could do 350 or 400 yards, but what would Dickerson do?
Yeah, well, you're talking a 6'4", 6'4" running back. He is Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He's exactly what Derrick Henry is.
Not as beefy as Derrick Henry was he?
He was 230. That's not small. I think Derrick Henry's
230 pounds?
Well, yeah, he's 6'4".
Well, I know he's 6'4", but I didn't really... Those monster shoulder pads that they used to wear back then, it didn't, like, you didn't really know how big a lot of those guys really were.
I think his true plain weight, they said, was 227, but we know that's inflated in a sense, or deflated. The guys are going to fluctuate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pro Football Reference has him at 200, but it doesn't say, you know, what point in his career.
Derrick Henry is 6'3", 247 pounds.
Yeah.
That
very
man
large man
is an effing animal. Mm-hmm. And he runs like a beast, and he's fast too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, that how much, when we're talking about the old school, that the rules have changed to benefit offense so much and so drastically, but schematically, how different are defenses now as opposed to back then? Because like, you're playing a reactionary position, but the game has changed so much from a schematic standpoint. Has that kind of, would that be an equalizer in these conversations that we're talking about? Yeah, tackling is different and you can't headhunt and maybe they're not wrapping up as much anymore. But schematically, wouldn't the adjustments come with Bo Jackson being on the field too?
So I don't know what you mean by schematically. Are you talking about just personnel-wise or the fact that the game's played in more space?
Playing in more space and the way that defenses are designed and, you know, blitzes and how they're designed and, you know, where coverages are coming from and pressure. Like, how often did we see guys, you know, at the safety position coming up and playing a position like Jamal Adams, for instance, does for the Seattle Seahawks and being at the line of scrimmage and another pass rusher consistently?
There's only been two times in the history of football that I've ever seen, at least in my days of watching football, there's only been two times in the history of football I've seen some sort of scheme change the way football is played. Okay, I'll give you three. I meant to say three, but not two. Significant changes that gave us something that we went, oh, aha. I've only seen one in the history of football that's defense. The other two, my two first, is the West Coast offense and triangle created by Bill Walsh. Changed football, how we communicated it. Now, some will say Don, Eric, Coryell. Okay, but what Bill Walsh did is he took a genius mindset and created a concept that brought triangles to football that nobody still tries to, well, they all try to replicate it and they use a faction of it. But what he did changed it. Chip Kelly changed offense, changed football, how we even think about it, changed the way it was played in space, changed the way we signaled, we no longer huddled, you no longer communicated. You just gave a signal and everybody turned their head and then turned back and went. Never seen anything like it. Only one group ever changed my mindset in football, and that was the 85 Bears, and that's what Buddy Ryan created with the Bear defense.
Oh, go back 46.
Not just the 46, but what he did, and I, of course, I played in a university that changed the game and how they created the move to tough. Move to tough was something that you can look back in college and go, nobody ever saw that. In fact, multiple major NFL teams came and studied under what Don James and Jim Lambert had done and took that from Buddy Ryan and optimized it in college. I remember guys coming, how are you doing that? And what are you doing differently? Now, of course, it all ran its cycle. But that defense, that 46 defense, changing that move technology, it was brilliant on what they did. Defensively, I haven't seen a defense be able to do anything yet, because here's how we know about defense. They're reactionary. Defenses are built to stop offense, not the other way around. You don't plan an offense to work around a defense. What you do is you said, you know, we're set the tone. We're going to do things just like what Chip Kelly did and just like what Bill Walsh did. Defense, we're never going to see more innovation in defense anymore. Can't do it. It's just built for offense. The league has told you penalties, schemes, don't touch me. 5-yard chuck, gone. Pass interference, don't touch me. Holding, don't touch me. Illegal hands to the face, don't touch me. Don't do anything. Defense is like targeting. Everything is built to help offense.
Well, and that's where you see defenses are always having to adjust and evolve because of what the offense will force you to do, right? I mean, guys were getting longer and leaner when, you know, it was speed, 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 speed. Now we're seeing kind of the offense go, all right, if that's what you want to do, we're going to throw what Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay do, which is we are going to have a power version of playing football in space. And if you want to get smaller and you want to get longer, that's fine. We'll just mash it down your throat and run the football on you. Or we're going to sit there and we're going to throw at a bunch of shifts. If you want to just sit there and say, we're going to identify the strong side of the formation, we're going to shift in motion all over. And you essentially just have to go back to the origins of playing defense, right? Like everything that the defense has to do is revert back to what they did in the 70s and the 80s.
Well, you just can't, if you're, I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. If you're a coach out there and you're not finding ways to optimize your offense and trying to figure out how to stop teams on offense, you are wasting your time. You just need to manage your defense and try to keep things in front of you as best you can. You need to start innovating and focusing on the offense until there's a major shift. Things ain't going to get any easier on defense. You're wasting your time teaching it. Let the players play. Put the good athletes out there. Try to manage it. Keep it in front of you. Create some turnovers. Rush the passer. Offense, you better be practicing it.
Yep.
A lot of it.
Every team, every day, baby.
A lot of it.
Hey, two teams that play really good on both sides of the ball right now may have the best rivalry in all of football. I said it during our Pro Football Challenge. It's the best rivalry in football. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, 3 days away. Is it truly the best thing we got going at any level? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Coming up 10 a.m. on Sunday, we've got one of the best rivalries going in sports right now. It is Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Since the year 2000, the Ravens and Steelers have played a total of 44 times. You venture to guess what their record is in those 20 years between the two teams?
I don't know.
22 and 22. They are dead even over 20 years of football games between the two franchises.
Crazy. Seems balanced.
I would say yes. That would be a balanced rivalry that they have going on there. If you look at it all time going back to 1996, all time in the rivalry, Pittsburgh has a 25-23 advantage, but only 7 points separate them in the all-time series between the two. 964 points scored for Pittsburgh, 957 for the Baltimore Ravens. And if you look at divisional rivals, the two teams that have been the best teams in their division over this span, and it's not even been close, is this the best rivalry we have right now in football, in the NFL, or in college football too? I mean, find me one that's more equal than what we have between these two teams.
Historic rivalries will tell you that it's Green Bay-Chicago. We talked about the new one with the 49ers and the Seahawks. I think that has been most definitely legendary in the last decade with some of the great finishes all the way into the NFC Championship game and Richard Sherman over Crabtree. But when we look at it right now, I can't find another. I was hoping we were going to get Drew Brees, Tom Brady this year a little bit. We were going to get some big, and there would be a Kansas City game, but then the Raiders ended up beating Kansas City. I'm like, dang it. All right. This is juggernaut versus juggernaut. That's what this is. This is, we're going to impose our will. And of course it comes from the division that's called the Black and Blue Division for a reason. Everybody's tough there. I mean, do you want to go into that division and think Cleveland's trying to say, we're tough. Cincinnati, we're pretty tough. But Pittsburgh just goes, no. Baltimore goes, no. This is how we do it. They're the best. They're the best two teams. Right now when we watch it, they're the best two teams I want to see play. Yeah. I don't really want to watch anyone else play. I want to watch these guys get after it.
It makes it so much more fun when you have great competition within the division. Because one of the things that's really been boring about what New England's dynasty has been is they've just run roughshod, right? It's boring when you don't have anybody sitting there and contending with you within your own division. The NFC South, the only thing that's made that division interesting over the last, 15 years or whatever it's been, is that almost every single year you have a new champion coming out of that division. I mean, think of it. Tampa, New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta. It's like a revolving door there. That makes that whole division fun. And I think that we're seeing that right now with the NFC West and the emergence of the Cardinals. you have the Arizona Cardinals are now, they're up to snuff, and everybody in that division is good. But in the AFC North, it is two teams and two teams only. And that's something that we haven't really seen in any of the divisions, is two dominant teams over an extended period. Yeah. And it used to be Seahawks and Niners in the NFC West. Now everybody else has just picked up their game, and that's a credit to Arizona and the Rams.
Well, it's a credit to the Steelers, too, because when you go 8-8 and didn't even have a quarterback that was worth saying anything, and Mason Rudolph did his best that he could. They put together the best team they could, lost their best player at running back with Le'Veon Bell. They dumped their best wide receiver they've ever had. Well, maybe I'm being a little risky here, but who's the best wide receiver that's ever come out of the Steelers in the foreseeable?
I mean, it's got to be him if it's not Lynn Swann.
Yeah,
Lynn
and that Swann, was, you know, 50 had years ago in the 70s.
But
how do you know Hines Ward?
He was a team guy.
Yeah. You get rid of your two best players and you're back in the conversation? Oh, how does that happen? Yeah. It just shows you the solidarity and the consistency from an organization that is just better than everybody else. They walk around. They don't even have to tell you they're better. They're not arrogant about it. They're not. They're always just more not buttoned up. It's not like I'm talking to like, this is Bill Belichick about being buttoned up. They're just more, they just feel, every time you talk about the Steelers, they just, no matter what fight it is, they can have a bad week, then they'll bounce back three in a row. They can have, the player can go bad. It's like, nope, we got this figured out. They're just always there. The consistency of that organization. And the Ravens, they've just found a way to reinvent Lamar Jackson to make him, well, first of all, he's a terrible thrower of the football. That's fair to say. Mm-hmm. That is completely fair to say. Statistics will tell you, Pro Football Focus will tell you. So I'm not condemning the fact or being argumentative to tell you that he was a MVP because of his legs. His ability to create runs, and he's fearful at all times. He got exposed in the playoffs. Well, I think he's going to get exposed again.
What is, if you're looking at the rivalries in the NFL right now, you mentioned an all-time rivalry. It's Bears-Packers is a great rivalry. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should goes be. Without saying, right? Yeah. It should be. In all-time, the regular season series is 98-94-6, leaning the Packers' way. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome, and that's pretty close. But since 1990, the Packers have a 32-19 record against the Bears. Kinda it hasn't even been close. It has not even been close over the last 30 years in that rivalry. It's fair to say second best rivalry, Niners Seahawks right now going in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then what would be third? I mean, what's third? Is there a great right? Because it ain't anything in the NFC East right
it's
now.
It's nothing in the AFC West. Certainly nothing. See, there's nothing exciting in the NFC. I'm sorry, AFC West. You guys are a snore fest.
How great would it be, though, if the Chargers or Raiders or Broncos could step up and go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs? But there's nothing right now. And the Chiefs and Raiders used to be a great rivalry of two teams that were good but not great. What is the third best rivalry in the NFL right now?
Third?
Yeah, because if you go, it's clear.
Rams-Seahawks. I know.
Seriously, though.
No, I am serious.
Chiefs have anybody? No, Chiefs have nobody.
They have nobody.
Would it be in the NFC South, whether it is whether it's
the needle.
Saints?
It's not Saints-Atlanta. I mean, I know the Saints ended up dropping one. When it comes down to it, I was hoping that the Saints were going to have a rivalry versus Tampa, but that one's not interesting.
And that goes back to the revolving door just of that division where those teams, when they're down, they are way down.
You know what it is? And this is not unfortunate. This is the reality. You know what it is? Okay. It's being played at 5:20 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on NBC.
No.
Yes, it is because it is Cowboys-Eagles. For some crazy reason, what was the most significant game at the end of the season last year that wasn't the Seahawks 49ers game?
You're right.
Philly had to beat a depleted nobody Philly. Had to beat the Cowboys, who had everything going in with Dak Prescott. The winner of that game wins the division, goes to the playoffs. Philly knocks off the Cowboys. It's classic. It means more. As much as you would say, it was pretty relevant. I know it's not great this year, but that's a rivalry. And that's a big one because the cities hate each other. Teams hate each other. The owners hate each other.
But when you suck.
I know. But it still means something.
And I think that is what has made Seahawks, Niners, and Steelers, Ravens so intriguing is that they're both really damn good. And they like you're talking about, the fan bases hate each other. The teams are really good. There's something on the line every single time they play, and it matters. Where Eagles-Cowboys, it's one of those teams usually down, and for this year, it's both of them are down.
Yeah.
Both of them. It's an interesting thing to look at and what could be down the pipeline. Hopefully, the Eagles and Cowboys is meaningful for years to come, because that would make it that much more intriguing. But we got the best one 3 days away. And what's amazing is that how closely these games have been contested. All of us in the Pro Football Challenge took the Pittsburgh Steelers to win, huh?
No, I took the Ravens.
Oh, you took the Ravens?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said Steelers.
Too tough to stand.
Yeah, we both took the Steelers. Mm-hmm. 503-250-1080. Your feedback on this. Getting you set for Thursday night football. It's a NFC South rivalry for the bottom of the division. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Maybe Thursday Night Football's on to something here. They had Giants-Eagles, and we knew it was going to be a bad game, but it was going to be entertaining. It lived up to it. We can see the same thing tonight. The 1-6 Atlanta Falcons hitting the road.
I think it has potential to be a good game.
3-4 Carolina Panthers. Like, it's not going to be great football, but it'll be entertaining.
You said this last week.
That's what I just said.
I understand that, but what are we looking for on Thursday? Well, when you say great football,
when you have a nationally televised game, two good teams that don't boot the ball all over the field. But guess what? Last week, the Giants and the Eagles, they do that on full rest. And we know that on a short week, it ain't going to be pretty.
You have 32 teams in this league, right? 32 teams. You have five that can win a Super Bowl, maybe.
Yep.
The rest is Thursday night football.
But the
just to give you a little taste of what happens. The rest is Thursday night football.
The rest.
That's
ain't
how
Thursday
it happens. Oh yeah, because the Chiefs Broncos was a stimulating game. Okay.
It was in snow.
I mean, it was. We don't get the, we're not fortunate enough to get those.
But remember when they said, we're going to give you good games on Thursday night now.
No, it's not possible.
Well, that's what they told us.
It's not possible.
That's what they told us.
Here's how I look at Thursday night football every week. What else would you rather be watching?
Well, next week's game?
Yeah. What else would you, no, in the moment, what would you rather be watching?
Well, next week's game. Yep. Two good teams play, all right. Which is Green Bay, San Francisco next week.
Okay.
That is it going to be a good game?
Yeah.
That's an exciting one.
Okay.
Like this one, it's the Falcons. What do we know about the Falcons? They'll get a lead. They'll blow it in spectacular fashion. And maybe they hold on this week. And that's going to be the entertaining part is can they white knuckle it to a win?
Do you see the video that came out, by the way? The mic'd up video?
Which one?
Where they go into the huddle and Matt Ryan tells his team, and he tells Todd Gurley specifically, get the first down, but don't score.
Oh,
go down.
Oh, no.
I did see that.
And
yeah.
Then he goes right in and scores.
Instinct.
Because people were saying, I wonder if they said anything beforehand. Like, yep, it's on tape. Matt Ryan saying right before the play, don't score.
You know
get the
what
first
I
down and go down.
You know what I think threw him off, though? Is the safety came up and hit him.
Yeah, like
and
one of the guys let
just
him through,
let
and the
go.
Other yeah. looked like he was trying to hold him up.
And I think that bracing for contact for Todd Gurley, yeah. That's where his momentum, mm-hmm. like, and when the guy just kind of hit him and just, like, went dead fish, that's what took him, just kind of pushed him right into the end zone. That's brutal. Poor Falcon. Nope, not going to say it.
Mm. Yeah, you can say it.
No, not going to say it. Not going to say it happens too often, but they will have no Christian McCaffrey in this game. He is out. He has been ruled out.
High ankle sprains. Don't mess with them. They're the most sure thing in football when it comes to injuries.
Two of them that linger the most.
6 weeks. Just lock it down. 6 weeks at minimum.
There are two injuries that linger the longest you hear.
You're just not going to come back from it.
Your high ankle sprain is one.
Yeah.
The other one is the one that Jamal Adams is working with.
Oh yeah.
That groin if you pull your groin.
Soft tissue.
That thing ain't healing up anytime soon. And that's why, you know, Jamal Adams still not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
You think we see him this week?
I don't think so.
They just could be ultra cautious with it.
Yeah, if you're bringing a guy, but why? You're ruining for the stretch run? I wouldn't.
No, I mean,
I think they're pretty smart. They feel okay with it.
You have a big game, though, within your division.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, how this thing's going to play out tiebreakers-wise as the season goes on, you're going to need him back as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, and
you're probably having to hold him back. He probably wants to go out there. You're probably trying to hold him back.
Ooh, that's a tough one to deal with. But tonight we got Thursday Night Football, and the Panthers are going to be back in black. They did their uniform unveil.
Mm-hmm.
They're going all black unis, which I like that. I like it. Clean all black look. It can't beat it in football.
I think Baltimore's got a great all black look. I love that. I love them. It's fantastic.
I love the Saints all black look too.
Got an interesting little news nugget here. So it's come out from Adam Schefter that Gardner Minshew has been playing with broken bones and a stretched ligament in his thumb. If he's unable to go next week, the backup, Jake Luton.
Thought it was Mike Glennon.
Apparently right now, Mike Glennon is not available, and so it would go to Luton.
Really? Lutes?
Wow. Hell yeah, that'd be awesome for Jake Luton.
Mm-hmm.
Would. Getting your first NFL start for a guy who is, a seventh-round pick?
Let's go.
Yeah, I'd love it for Jake Luton, especially after watching that video of how... Remember his brother, when he sent him a Jake Luton jersey to his little brother? How excited his little brother was?
That
video
awesome.
Was awesome. I'd love to see that.
Another Jake. Quarterbacks. Jake is the number one quarterback name. Doesn't it feel like Jake's?
Jake and Matt.
Jake's.
Jake and Matt.
Jake and Matt.
Jake and Matt. If you got a Jake or a Matt, you got a quarterback room. Also, Chargers releasing a statement. They received notice a player has tested positive for COVIDs, and they've began the contact tracing. So the Chargers, the latest hit with the COVID bug, and they did not release the name of the player, but he'll show up on the COVID list today. So,
All right.
There's your injury updates. We will talk Thursday Night Football. What will be entertaining, but maybe not the greatest football in the world, but I'll still watch every single minute of it tonight. And we get you set for a Football Friday. We got a great weekend of college and NFL action. We will get you all ready for tomorrow on the show. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area will join us for a preview of Seahawks 49ers as well at 8:30. Up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7. It's primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.